Good morning.
It's good to see everyone this morning. Good to be here. Get a couple of things out of the way, okay? First of all, if you as a church chooses to call me back as your pastor, I'll be your pastor, okay?
Thank
you. Thank you. Now, let's get one other thing out of the way. Some of you folks have no idea what everybody's, well, clapping about, laughing about, harassing me about. I made a statement one night in service that my wife does not pick out my clothes, does not lay my clothes out on the bed for me or anything like that. And I absolutely ran out without my shirt today. So that's why everybody is really enjoying themselves.
Especially me.
Really enjoying yourself at my expense. But I promise you one thing. I can take it. I really can. Just remember, I grew up back. It's all good. It really is. You will not hurt my feelings. I love, you know, I'd just soon somebody have something on me as I had to have something on Steve Preston. I guess I choose my words a little bit better from now. Keep some things private, and then you won't never know when I mess up, right? Okay. All right. Well, again, we're just so thankful for the week that we've been able to enjoy here with our brothers and sisters in Christ. What a wonderful time we have had. Just great services, and I thank all of you for your support and your prayers. If you weren't able to be here, I know you prayed for our service, and I want to say thank you to all of the meals that we had, whether it was over in the fellowship hall or folks took us somewhere or whatever. That was so kind. It's such a kind thing that people do, and I really do appreciate it. My family, Cindy wasn't able to be here. It's the way Revival fell this year. It's their absolute busiest time in the mornings. She's here at night, but in the mornings, it's absolute busiest time for her at her work. So, but thank you for everything that you've done for us, and we just appreciate it. And Gary told me to thank you again, and he had a real good time. And I appreciate you welcoming him so much and making him feel at home and making him feel a part of us. That's just a wonderful, says a lot about you, church. Says a lot about you, so thank you. Okay, these ladies playing for us, would you please stand and take a moment of time and shake hands with someone seated there around you, if you would, please. You can really tell today is not my day. I was up here, didn't have my mic on or anything, so. But they got me taken care of. Wow, I've got 45 minutes. But I'm not going to use them. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John's Gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. If you don't have a Bible and you want to read along, you can find one right there in front of you in a pew rack. We have just welcomed into our church 6 new members. And we're so glad to have them. And we want to share a few things for them, but really for all of us. Okay? And I will go ahead and just announce this. If everything falls into place, there'll be another baptizing the 25th, maybe, of August. So if by chance there's somebody that wants to be baptized, we'll take care of it then. Okay? And that's kind of tentatively, but I think it's okay to go ahead and tell you one of the young ladies that was going to be baptized today was not able to be here with us today. So if everything works out, that's when it'll be. But anyway, we really need to all listen up and think about what is said right here. And It's really encouraging. It's what I want to do. I want to encourage these new members, and I really want to encourage all of us. When we look at this and when we think about the depth maybe of just this one verse that John writes and what he says and how it speaks so boldly and yet it speaks so plainly to every one of us today, I want to try to share just a few thoughts that I have this morning that will help these that have come to be a part of our church. But will not only will it help them, but it will also help you and I. So I pray that all of us would listen this morning. In John's Gospel, chapter number 1, verse number 12, listen to what he says. He says, "But as many as received him," it's referring to Christ, "as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." It's all the scripture we're going to read. Well, maybe I have wrote down one other passage of scripture I'm going to make reference to and read probably that chapter and or verse out of a particular chapter. Let's bow our heads. Father, we do thank you, God, for your love and your mercy, your kindness, your goodness. And we pray, Father, as we come this morning, may our eyes be open, may our hearts be open. And Lord, may we gain new insight into your word and what it says to us and how it helps us and how your word encourages us to live for you. And Lord, it encourages us to have a closer walk with you. And I pray this morning that that would be every one of us that's here this morning, that would be our desire, that we would have a closer walk with you as we all journey through life together. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail you. We pray for the needs that some folks has in this church. We pray, Lord, especially for a need that was made known to me just literally moments ago. God, I pray that you'd help this person. I pray, Father, that you would intervene in this situation. And we're just praying for good things and praying that everything would be okay. And Father, for others that has needs and for whatever folks are going through, God, we ask you, Lord, to help them too and help us all. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. First of all, I want to say to all of these that have come and to all of us, Christ resides in us. I want us to all understand, and I think we understand that, well, we should, that Christ Jesus now resides in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's very important that we understand that. Paul said this was other passage of Scripture that I wanted to make mention to you in Galatians chapter number 2, verse 20. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That was Paul talking about how Christ lived in him. And all of us can understand today, as Christian people, Christ lives in us, and we should let him live out in our lives and let folks see Christ in our lives as we journey along. He said, "It's Christ that lives in me." Christ lives in the heart and in the life of the believer. And Paul said, so therefore, he said, "I no longer live in this flesh." In other words, he says, I bring my body under subjection to God, that I don't give in to the desires of the flesh, but that I live my life for Christ. So I want to encourage these that have just come to be a part of our church, that you understand that you live your life for Christ. And that's something that all of us need to be reminded of, that we live our life for Christ every single day. We live for Him. The one who loved us, Paul said, the one who gave himself for us. It's not a whole lot for God to ask for any of us as Christian people to live our life for him, because he gave his life for us. So it's not too much that God asked for you and I to live our life for him, because he resides in us. The next thing that I want you to do, and I want everybody in here to also to think about this, now that you're saved, you
are saved forever. You are saved forever. Now, there's folks that I really love, good Christian people that I really love, that really don't see it that way. But I want to tell you something. Now listen, stay with me, okay, with this. If that is not the truth, God gave the absolute worst analogy that He could ever give, if there's no truth to that. Why do I say that? Because He talks about us being born into the family of God. Born into the family of God. He said in this passage that I read to you that they become sons of God. Now, why do I say that? This is why I say it. God is the one that chose to use this analogy and make it this way and make it representative of what it was like for a child or a daughter to be born into a family. No, listen, this is why I say this. No matter whatever happens, I have two children, Destin and Megan McCormick, will always be my children. Whether they do the things that I want them to do or whether they do things that I do not want them to do, they will always be my children. Nothing changes that. And if that is not the way that God looks at you and I, and when we become a Christian, then He chose the worst analogy that He could ever have chose. If there's no truth in that, then why did He call us sons? Why did He call us daughters? Why did He say you must be born again? Why does He call us as a family? Is that understandable? I think so. I think so. So how in the world, if God has said this and we understand it, I mean, you know, He is really making an analogy, an allegory. It's showing us that how the family is like the family of God. And family never changes. They may disappoint us. We disappoint God. You disappoint God. I disappoint God. But that never changes my sonship with Him. That never changes. Once you're saved, you are forever saved. Once you become a child of God, you are forever a child of God. When you're born into the family of God by trusting Christ, no matter what happens in this life, whether you feel happy or whether you feel sad, whether you're a good child or a disobedient one, you will always be God's child, always. So Christ resides in us. You're saved forever. And now you can really call on Jesus anytime. As Christian people even, some of us sometimes have journeyed in this journey for a very long time, and we sometimes forget that we can call on Jesus anytime. Wherever we're at in life, whatever is going on in our life, you can always call on Jesus. He teaches us that we should. John wrote over in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he told those folks, he said, if you confess your sins, that's talking to God. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just. He'll forgive you of your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what all of us needs in our lives. We need to talk to the Lord, and we need, as Christian people, we need to confess our failures. We need to confess our sins before Him. And then the other thing that I tell you is in this walk and going through this journey of a new Christian faith and being a part of a family of God, I want to encourage you to be with other Christians. Now listen, that does not mean that you isolate yourself from the world. Because if you isolate yourself, if the church isolates itself totally from the world, how in the world do we ever share the gospel with the world? You cannot totally isolate yourself from the world. Jesus never isolated Himself from lost people. He never isolated Himself from the worst of worst sinners. He was always, in fact, really and truly, that's who He hung out with. But you and I encourage you, all of us, I encourage all of us to surround ourselves with our brothers and sisters in Christ, because they're the ones that understands us. They're the ones that's going to be there when you do face the difficult times in life. They're the ones that's going to be there when you are going through something and you just need some good brother or sister that is in Christ that'll put their arm around you and say, I love you and I'm praying for you and I'll be there for you no matter what you're going through with in life. And you know what they'll also do when you're up on the mountain? And you're just as high as you can be, and life is grand and glorious. You know what a good Christian person will do? They'll rejoice with you. They'll be happy for you. They'll be right there beside you when you have times like that in life. So surround yourself with Christian people. In fact, Paul said, and I know he was really alluding more really to a marriage situation is the proper context of the passage of Scripture. But when he talks about over there in Corinthians, when he's talking about be ye not unequally yoked together, you know, that's it is the context a lot of marriage and everything. But it'll do for you and I as Christian people to understand the importance of being and having Christian friends. Being a Christian friend to people, having Christian friends is a very important thing in your walk with Christ. It's what will help you as you journey along. The next thing I tell you is get into God's Word. Read God's Word. And, you know, if it means a more modern translation, that's okay. Personal study, it's okay. Everybody needs to read God's Word and understand God's Word and what it says. Paul said to Timothy, and I know that he was talking more from a ministerial standpoint, but he said, study to show thyself approved. Study God's Word. It's how God, listen, will God speak to you in a small voice? Yes, He will. He will. Will God speak to you in an audible voice? He never has me, but I can't say that He won't speak to someone that way. He has in times past. But I can assure you of one thing. He always speaks to every single one of us through His Word. Always. He speaks to us through His Word. So, surround yourself with Christians. Get into God's Word and read it and study it and let it help you and let God speak to you through Scriptures and through His Word. And finally, understand the importance of being in God's house. Understand the importance of being a part of the church. Paul, well, no, let me back that up. It wasn't Paul. It was a Hebrew writer because they're really not sure. Some attribute it to Paul. You got a lot of Bibles will say Paul, but that's never been a proven thing that Paul actually wrote the book of Hebrews. But whoever wrote the book of Hebrews said in the 10th chapter in the 25th verse to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It meant God's people are to come together. It's important that we come together for worship. It's an important part of the Christian life. So, as many as received Him, to them gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. And that's what all of these have done. And that's what's required of them. But it's also what is required and told of you and I. So I hope as you think about these things that I've said to you this morning, I hope they'll be an encouragement to you. I hope they'll help you with your walk in life. Remember that Christ resides in you. You're saved forever. You can call on the name of Jesus anytime, anywhere in your life. Surround yourself with other Christians. Get in God's Word and be a part of the local church. That's what the Bible tells us. God bless you this morning. Is my prayer. We're going to all stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation this morning. If there is anybody here today, if you've never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you can't apply those principles that I talked about, if you cannot apply them to your life, then we're going to give you that opportunity this morning to come and you receive Christ into your life and let Him be your Savior in your life while we sing this verse of song.